In our April newsletter, George writes of Bishop Curry's invitation to the diocese to go deep, go speak, go do. And of the invitation to all of us this Easter season to practice and to discover our ability to go speak by sharing personal stories about matters of faith. Bishop Ann writes of this as well in this month's issue of the North Carolina Disciple. We all have stories to tell, and I would submit that they are part of the never-ending story of Easter. Last week, Easter Sunday, we joined Mary Magdalene and the other Mary as an angel from heaven rolled back the stone of the tomb where the body of Jesus had been laid and showed them that the tomb was empty. We shared their excitement as they heard the angel say, "He is not here, for he has been raised from the dead." And we shared their joy as they ran to tell the disciples, only to have Jesus meet them on the way and send them on with instructions to go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Today we are back down to earth, and as our gospel reading begins, it is Easter evening after dark. The disciples alone and fearful are huddled behind locked doors. They have just lived through three horrific days, and they fear that the enemies of Jesus are now looking for them. They had followed Jesus for 3 years, walking alongside him in public and engaging in his work and ministry among the people. Then in the end, when it mattered most, they had deserted him, and some of them had even denied that they knew him. Yes, the disciples were afraid. They had plenty of reason to be. But they were also disappointed, and I suspect, ashamed. At that point, one of them, Peter, had seen some linen cloths in an empty tomb, but none of them had actually seen Jesus. Then, suddenly, he appears among them and shows them his wounds, and in quick succession, offers them 4 Pentecostal gifts. The first gift is the gift of peace, the assurance of wholeness with God and within themselves, confidence and encouragement to regroup. The peace that had been promised by him a few days earlier at the Last Supper that they had together. Peace be with you. The next gift is the gift of mission, a plan of action, a new purpose and a new agenda. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. The third gift is the gift of the Holy Spirit and the power to fulfill the mission they've been given. And finally, the gift of authority. For through the disciples and their message, God's forgiveness will be mediated to others. With these gifts, with these 4 gifts, the disciples and through them the church become the body of Christ. Healed with his peace, set out, empowered, and authorized for mission in the world. But Thomas, we are told, missed it all. For whatever reason, Thomas was not there, and he did not see Jesus and his wounds. All he had was the word of those who had, so he insisted on seeing for himself. And more than that, he insisted on actually touching, putting his hands in the wounds. So when Jesus comes among them a week later in the same place, he offers to meet these conditions. But it turns out, seeing is enough. It is all Thomas needs. You know, although Thomas is singled out and often held up as an example of how not to be, we should not be too hard on him. He probably represents the mood of the whole group of disciples and the doubts that existed in the early church at the time the gospel was written. In a sense, Thomas represents all of us who at various times in our lives have asked God for more evidence of faith, perhaps more evidence than we actually need. Still, we sometimes cannot keep from asking. After all, we were not there in first century Palestine to break bread with Jesus or to stand at the foot of the cross. We did not encounter the risen Christ in Jerusalem or Galilee. We did not hear Peter say, "This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses." Much less can we say it with him. Our circumstances are so very different. And so it is for us that the gospel writer tells this story to assure us that our faith, our trust in God's promise, over and in spite of our experience, is more blessed than the faith of the first disciples. So how do we come to this faith? As Peter reminds us in our first reading, we have the witness and the testimony of Scripture, and it is a twofold witness that God raised Jesus from the dead, and that this is the same Jesus whose life was witnessed by Peter and the others. And the "and" is crucial. If Mary Magdalene had run to tell the disciples some news about a man who had been executed as a criminal, certified as dead, and then reported to have been seen alive again three days later, that really would have been about the end of it. And if Jesus of Nazareth, who healed the sick and welcomed the outcasts and loved enemies as well as neighbors and scandalized religious authorities and threatened civil authority, if the life of this Jesus had come to an end on the cross, then all would have been despair. But the testimony of the church, our testimony, is that the love that was in Jesus did not end on Calvary. It lives. It lives, in the words of Frederick Buechner, in the shabby hearts of those who, although they have never touched the mark of the nails, have been themselves so touched by him that they believe anyway. It lives in us. For in addition to the testimony of Scripture and the teachings of the church, we have the experiences of believers throughout the ages. Our faith, grounded in the witness of the community of faith, is not secondhand or derivative or inferior belief. It is genuine and true for us. For Jesus' wounds were not only his credentials to the disciples on Easter Day, they were, as William Temple said, his credentials to all suffering people. And so for us, Easter is not simply an observance of something that happened 2,000 years ago, or celebration and anticipation of something that is to come sometime in the future. It is both of these and so much more. For us, Easter is not the end of Lent, but the beginning of a new life, the beginning of new life in the church and in the lives of the people of God. It is the story of Jesus coming to us, looking for us, even behind the closed doors of our lives, appearing when we least expect him and most need him, and offering us a new presence and a new beginning. And it is a story that gets richer and richer over time, not only in the liturgical year, but in the years of our lives. And so as we share our faith stories in the month of May and in the months and years to come, let us remember that each of these stories is part of the never-ending story of Easter. And let us remember, too, that the story of Easter is the witness born of human experience that whenever God's people join in solidarity with the poor to share their suffering and to offer Jesus' healing presence, there is the wounded body of Christ as well as the glorified and risen Lord offering new life to us all. May it ever be so. Amen.